Welcome to the Hunter's Advantage Podcast, where a group of budget-minded hunters scour the woods for whitetail bucks and whatever other big game is in season. Tune in each week to hear the hilarious public and private land hunting stories and mistake-filled lessons learned. We believe that every hunt brings us closer to God and that we exist to share the good news. And now, your hosts, Christian Babcock and Jake Gaylord.
Listen, guys, we wouldn't be able to do the podcast if it wasn't for you all. So we just want to say that you guys are greatly appreciated, and thank you for following along each week.
And speaking of support, we are partnered with Out on a Limb Manufacturing, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, Matt and Chase are great down-to-earth guys, and they make some of the best saddle hunting products out there. Whether you're looking for a set of climbing sticks or a mobile, lightweight hang-on tree stand, or maybe you're even a one-sticker,
you mean tree Pilates?
Yes, tree Pilates. If you've been to the grocery store or the gas station lately, you know that Uncle Joe is doing his absolute worst to take all your money. That's why we need hunting gear that lasts year after year. And trust me, I've been rocking the same Out on a Limb Shikar climbing sticks for 4 years and the Ridge Runner 2.0 saddle hunting platform for a few years as well. This gear is built to last.
We can confidently say that Out on a Limb is the best bang for your buck.
And it's the best gear if you want to deflate a big old buck.
Ooh. Make sure you use code HNTA15 at outonalimbmfg.com for 15% off anything on their website.
So if you could show them the same support that you guys show us, please go to outonalimbmfg.com and use code HNTA15 for 15% off at checkout. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Welcome back to the Hunter's Advantage Podcast. Today, we are joined by the host, Christian Babcock. Say hi.
Hello.
And the Chris not Kyle. So special guest.
Chris Kyle.
That's not what you were on the golf course
too
today,
soon, Carol.
Too soon. You were Helen Keller on the golf course. So was I.
Somebody has to be.
Blind leading the blind is what it was.
I was Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, so today, I think we got a good one for you.
It's internal, so it's going to be good.
Talking about deep dive into our 2024 hunting season plans. So, just start.
Let's go.
How's it going, guys?
Fantastic. I love these internal podcasts. There's nothing better. The conversations are easier, and with two of my best buddies, so.
Aww. I feel.
That makes one of us.
I am throbbing.
Just joking. Carol's against his will. He's against his will here.
That's not true. I have fun. It is awkward when it's not. So?
Yeah, sure.
When I'm like, I don't know who you are. I'm like, how's your day going?
Have you ever got on with any of the guests?
I said, my wife.
Carol has never.
Yeah, I don't think you've been put through any of the guests, have you?
Mm-hmm. Dude, it is difficult. It is a little bit more difficult than probably people realize.
I'm trying to think.
I don't think Carol's been on one with the guests yet.
I'll be honest.
Maybe the lives.
I still do this.
I'm thinking maybe the lives then.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it, but when we talk to guests, it's like when I first started doing it, it was I wasn't listening to what they were saying. I was too worried about trying to figure out what the next thing I was going to say was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Instead of just talking.
You're like, and that's cool. Yeah. And anyways, I had a question. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
How we do this?
It's tough with the guests, too, because the internet's on always fast on the guests, so things lag, and it's funny, too.
It's hard to joke with them, too.
It is, because it's hard to joke when you're looking at someone, like, here up, and they're like, huh? I've got a lot of those, huh? Never mind, we'll move on.
Dude, you're like, I'm going to throw a little one out there, and we're going to read the room real quick.
Well, I'm not going to say any names, but we had a Canadian on. And apparently, Canadian culture is not the same as,
so
like,
different.
Northeast Oklahoma crackhead culture. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we were making, like, crackhead jokes, like, saying, oh, yeah, you know, I can't stay in the stand long unless I have some Little Debbies. He's like, what's a Little Debbie?
Yeah, you're like, that's like, the dude. Bomb. And he's like, bomb? What do you mean?
Are you saying you have a bomb? My favorite was when we were in a what was that town that we were in Saskatchewan? What was that town? The last one before we got gas, where the A&W was, where we ate when we were on our bear hunt.
Long John Silver, yeah.
Yeah, I forget that town. Meadow Lake. We were in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, and Carol gets out of the car, and he's like doing a Canadian accent. He's like, it's not gallons, it's liters. It's not gallons, it's liters. And he's making a joke.
So do they go miles per liter?
They probably do.
Kilometers
per liter.
Yeah. I don't know.
The speed limit was
above our pay grade, okay?
The speed limit was in kilometers. I remember we crossed the border, we're like, it's 100 miles an hour. We're like, that's amazing.
We're going to get there in no time. Yeah.
Tell her we'll be there tonight. Yeah. But it was, Carol was doing that with at this gas station in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan. And this Canadian immediately comes out and he's like, wow, where are y'all headed? And he said it in his Canadian accent.
I turned around. I was like, huh? And I was like, oh, man, he heard all of that. And I was giving him so much crap. And I was like, I'm going to go get in the truck.
Dude, Canadians are the nicest people I've ever met. Like, I did not have one negative interaction. But they do not have the same sense of humor as the South. They definitely don't. It's still fun to mess with them.
Yeah.
It's still fun.
Well, I don't think this dude knew what a crackhead was.
No, I don't think so. They probably have their own slang.
Yeah, they work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Canada? Yeah. No, they're probably on social welfare up in Canada.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's just...
Aren't they, like, a lot further in, like, socialism and stuff than...
Of course they are. Yeah. Heck, yeah. You can probably go up there and collect a check just for being...
Nice.
Hurt. Emotionally.
I'm offended.
Hey. How bad? How bad are you offended? That's funny.
I only cry 3 times a day. Okay.
Psych ward. Send him to the psych ward.
Just to kind of... tell the news real quick. We're trying to hunt muley in Nebraska, right? Come September, and
this is my third go around.
Yes, that's Christian.
That's why we say try.
What is a good arrow weight for that? Like, what's a good yardage for them? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I don't think it's gonna be whitetail range. So,
I hope so.
I hope so too. But my thing is like, do I need to go? Because I got 5 VPA broadheads. They're pretty expensive, right? So I want to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like I don't want to switch up my sight tape for muley. And then, you know, at the same time, it's like if I draw it for Kansas, those seasons kind of go hand in hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to switch them back and forth. Like, oh, hey, you know, I have a 200 grain setup. And then I have, you know, for whitetail. And then I have a, what would that be?
A 485. Yes. Yeah, 485 versus a 585.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think most people like just grabbing an all-around arrow. They build something that's like probably not the lightest and the best arc, but not the heaviest and the best penetration.
And that's probably smart, but like I said, I have 5 200 grain broadheads that I want to use. So at the same that's where I'm at. And so if I lower my poundage, I'm not saying I like it would hurt cuz I probably still get like 80 some yards of clearance with a 585 arrow.
Right. And your bow shoots really hard. Those Matthews shoot really hard.
It's pretty good.
But you're a, I don't know. I have a, my school of thought is always like a, I'm an idiot. So let me preface that with money. If I will spend, if I didn't think the 200s were exactly what I wanted for a hunt, I would literally go buy 5 more. That's me.
Yeah, but you're rich.
I didn't want to say it. You said it. Just kidding. Quit
buying those Starbucks drinks every freaking day.
That ain't me.
If you would save for 1 week, you could buy a whole pack of broadheads or whatever you want.
Every time I'm on the phone with Jake, hold on 1 second. Can I get a pinkity drinkity?
Yeah, right.
I need 6 glazed, 6 chocolate, 6 sprinkles, and a large latte.
That's
true,
and that's acceptable, okay? Because you go to this one at the end of the road, it's like, yeah, can I get 2 kolaches? You all know what a kolache is.
Kolache.
Yeah, I call them kolaches, and she's
they're probably like this
she
guy.
Says, okay, that's like $1.50.
Yeah,
so
this dingleberry's back.
That's amazing.
Again.
Probably what it's the kolache guy.
They always give they do always give me like a free glaze, and so I'm like, thank you.
This guy doesn't even know what it is, so throw one in there.
This guy rides the other bus.
He drives. He's a driver.
He's one of the driving ones. That's awesome. The thing is though. I think you'll get your use out of those other broadheads. It doesn't change that you'd have to buy new broadheads. That sucks. Maybe we can just strike something with VPA. We can get some more broadheads. That'd
if you're
be
listening,
Alex, Jeff, help us out. But I think a 200 grain broadhead for a Western hunt that you're planning on ever shooting more than 40
overkill.
Yards is – I just think you're asking for problems.
Well, so, yeah. I think that's true.
Even with an elk.
It's not only – are you going to get less range, right?
You're going to be less accurate, too.
Yeah, because let's say you range it, and then it takes a few steps, or just like you were explaining mule deer do, they spot you or something like that. They stand up out of the bed. They run however long, yards. And then they turn around, and it's like, okay, the pin gaps. Carol, you and I talk about this a lot. The pin gaps.
1 yard at 20 yards is
horrible.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
So that's I don't know. That's what I want to feed. And that's the thing. The only thing stopping me is the money I've spent on the broadheads. Because I got two packs of them.
So, what do you got? About so I got 100, six.
Yeah, you 150 still have bucks like or three of mine, too.
I got one of yours.
So you got 150 bucks in broadheads, basically?
I'll skip to you after this. It's in there. It's in the other room.
No, thanks.
You got 150 bucks worth of broadheads is basically what it is?
Yeah.
This is the way I calculate any hunt. Okay. If I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive to Nebraska, how much money is that going to cost you?
I mean,
okay, let's
depends who
round.
Gets elected, right?
Okay. In this economy, a small loan of $100,000.
Okay.
But let's just say you get in your car and you drive to Nebraska. You buy a $350 tag because their cost just went up. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to spend $200 in food.
Yeah, I was going to say the $18 pizza you're going to spend at Casey's.
When that,
but that's worth it. No,
yeah.
No,
Casey's is a hellhole. When that buck stands up at 56 yards, the last thing I want to be thinking about is my setup perfect for this? I do not want to have... And if he takes five steps, you shoot and go right under him, you're going to go, God, I wish I would have just bought this broadhead.
I know.
That'll be the first thing, because that's how I think about it.
No, I'm going to say take these other ones out of my quiver before I stab myself.
Before I jump on this arrow. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's what I need to do, but...
It's hard to, because those are basically a total wash. You'll find a use for them eventually, but it might be shooting them into a pig or something.
Yeah, and that's fine. Maybe they're just backup, or if I, you know what I could do?
What's that? Get a crossbow?
No.
Clip that.
Just have that. And then post it on TikTok. I guess what I could do with those 200 grains is just kind of have them set up for that, my old bow. And just kind of use, like, that'd just be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just have that. But what do you think would be that common middle ground for the whitetail muley kind of all-in-one setup for arrow? Is that a 150 broadhead? Is that a 125 grain broadhead?
I think if you would ask Carol, and one thing I've thought about since Carol was talking about his arch and trajectory and stuff is it depends on your specs, because you're different than me and he's different. You're different. Even though you guys shoot a similar grain arrow, your draw lengths are different. Your draw weights are different. But I think it's funny because we went on this journey of like, hey, we're shooting a 525, and then we're like, let's go 585. Let's go. And now I'm like, let's go back to 525.
525 was always pretty good.
It was always like, it's a trajectory. So what would that be? If you listen to Ashby, to you, it'd be a 150 gram.
150. That's right.
If you shot a 150, which is what I shot last year, a 150, you'd be in the 525 range, which is, I think, a good middle ground of, you got good FOC because you got 150 up front. You got good trajectory, and you got good clearance and range.
That's true.
It's kind of hard to, I mean.
With the 525, with the old FMJs we used to shoot, I was getting 91 yards of clearance.
What's your farthest shot on an animal ever?
Like 52.
Okay, so 91, that's not bad. 91 ain't bad at all. That's kind of.
But
what,
if it's a big old muley, I do a Josh Bomar shot. You know what I mean? 110.
He's 120 yards. Did you get that on film, Sarah? The arrow's not there yet. it's still flying.
That mule deer did literally roll into it, though.
Oh, dude, at that range, I've seen some films, and Josh's are some of them. Bomar bow huntings are some of them, where like they're filming that person over the shoulder. And you're looking at the mule deer, and you're like, where the hell is it? Like, it's so small in the frame that you can't even see it. And the arrow flies, and you're like, zooming in on YouTube, you're like, where is it? And then you just see the arrow hit. It's crazy. Because even shooting at, like, a giant buffalo attack at 100 yards, I'm like, all right, my pin's barely on it. It's tough. It is tough. What's your max range you'd shoot it in? What's the max range either you would shoot at an animal, western animal, like a muley? If a muley stands up out of a bed 80 yards, you can shoot at if you practice all summer?
If I have that, I'll shoot with my clearance.
That's what I like to hear.
I mean, would you not?
Absolutely, I would. Yeah, I'd probably shoot up to my bottom pin, whatever I think I could get.
And it does depend, because I know there's going to be people be like, that's unethical. Obviously, if the wind's gusting or anything like that, or if they're alarmed or whatever, if it's not ideal, we're probably not going to take like a 98-yard shot, right?
Yeah, if my bow's doing that, no.
Yeah.
But I'm saying perfect conditions.
If you don't feel like, if you feel confident, it's like, yeah, I can hit that, go for it. If you truly believe you can hit it, I say do it. Because you know why? Old basketball saying.
Wayne Gretzky.
What is it?
You miss 100% of the shots you go to. Michael Scott.
Exactly. So, with that being said, there's probably going to be people that disagree.
That's fine. I don't know. If anyone saw a 200-inch mule deer stand out of the bed and they had a pin for it, they'd be like, I'm going to try.
I bet you there's people that...
And we're talking to whitetail hunters, too.
Yeah. I bet you there's people that only had like a 50-yard pin or something because like they didn't know. We've made that mistake before. And they're like, top of the horizon seems good.
Top of the... 8 to 12 feet over its back. Do you remember when we were hunting antelope? And
dude, I don't like that.
So Jake and I thought, like, we have a 50-yard pin. If we can't get within 50, right? We got a problem. We sneak up down this drainage, and we pop up, and we were both holding the decoy, right? We popped up our decoy, and like, a big buck and like what, 15 does or something?
Yeah, there's 12.
Ran in on us. They're at like, I ranged him and I had my bow. It was like 71 yards. I was like, they're still 20 yards out of range.
Yeah.
And the buck is just sitting there, just mad dogging us. And today I would have shot 10 yards ago when he was back there, but he was at 71. And we're like, he's so far away.
What do we do?
Yeah,
looking at us. We can't move.
We got to get 20 yards closer. That would not have happened today.
No.
And then I realized, like, people do not get antelope 10 yards away. That doesn't happen. People shoot at them 50-plus 90% of the time. That made me sad.
That's just learning the hard way, which...
I call it the expensive way.
Yes.
It was the expensive way. It was sad, too.
I call the expensive way Colorado. That was stupid.
I didn't learn anything, though.
Stupid. I did.
What'd you learn?
If you have 770 bucks and you're in college, don't spend 750 on a tag. That's what I learned.
Don't take your bow on a hike.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one point. I don't think I ever told you this. There was one point we stopped on our way back through. We stopped and ate Chinese. You went in. Well, no. Yeah, I think you went in and ate it, or you just grabbed it and like ate out in your truck. I didn't have any money. So I was just like, nah, I'm good.
That sucks.
Yeah, so I was like, no, I'm good. I don't know how I'm going to pay rent, but we'll see.
That was a fun hunt.
Luckily,
for 3 days.
It was Hunter, and like I was like 15 days late on it, and like it was only like 250 bucks. So dude, I was like,
let's
go. Yeah.
Dude, that's risking it for the biscuit.
As soon as I got back to the water, I was like, take my plasma, please. Hey, Daddy.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Daddy's been drinking lots of water. You can get extra.
Yeah. Milk me dry. You don't have to put the blood back in, okay? don't centrifuge it. Don't do any of that. Just take it all. Give me extra.
Do you have a dollar sign and I can tell you when to stop?
Yeah. What's the max on that prepaid card? They're like, hey, your blood sugar's really low. When's the last time you ate?
I haven't, baby. That's why I'm here.
It was bad. You know if Coney Island's open?
That's immediately terrible. After I put the needle in, I'm a little lightheaded. It's like, you know, some chips.
Why didn't we ever shoot those deer in the yard in college?
You tried.
Did I try?
You tried.
Didn't I shoot it one time?
No, you flicked on the... No. Because we had a security light. And so what you did is you snuck around the house, and as soon as you got over there, the security light popped on because it was dawn, basically. Mm-hmm. Like just starting to get shooting light. And they were always right there. And I think he even sprinkled
out. Dude, they were there every day.
I had, like, the first class because I was an NRA. Yeah, it makes sense, college, where they're like, you're going to be taking 16 hours, but you have four-hour classes at our lab.
So that's also why I couldn't get a job in Stillwater. It was because it's like, oh, yeah, you have class 8 to 1, and then...
And then you have a lab from 4 to 8.
Yes.
Yeah.
We lived on land, by the way, outside of city limits, and we had deer in our yard just to set the scene.
And, I think, they were consistent. Almost every day.
We had them patterned.
We had them we had them patterned. We also had road runners and stuff. Remember the road runner? We had a few road runners and a few
that
was animals
a good little,
that I'm like.
That was a good little place for college kids, I'll be honest.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And also great business for Mike.
He tried. We were also next to one trailer park, and we had crackheads walk through our yard at all times of the night. Well, someone stole your bow off the porch.
Literally. I ordered a brand new bow. I was like, where is it?
Do you remember when the neighbors come out in the Kim suits that one time?
Yeah. We're just house sitting. What?
They came out looking like a... Looking
they
like
had
they were...
a hazmat suit on. I was like, never mind.
Do whatever you're gonna do.
Yeah.
And then like so that was before Christian got his bow stolen. And then Christian was like, I think they stole it. They 100% stole it. They sold it. That's how they're making the drugs, right? So Christian was like, should we go look in their trash can and see if that box is there? Because it was a PSE or something like that. And he was like, should we go and see if the box is there? And I was like, no, because if they're home, they're like probably got a gun like sitting on the porch like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? So I'm like, I think your bow's lost, buddy.
I called PSC and they sent me a new one, thank God.
No, I remember I was there.
Then you had to sign for it.
I was there. I did. I was there when you were on that phone call. The lady picked back up and said, you'll have to sign for this one. You remember that?
I said, I hope so. It was spring break. I came back and it had been delivered for 5 days. I was like, where is it?
So funny.
It wasn't there. They took it.
At the Hunter's Advantage, we live by the KISS slogan.
You were not supposed to tell them that.
No, I meant we like to keep it simple, stupid. All jokes aside, Exodus is the definition of keeping it simple. Let's say you aren't really sure what arrow setup you should run. The Exodus Arrow Builder will help you build the right arrows for your exact setup.
Or if you don't have time to change those trail cam batteries in the dog days of summer, Exodus has a great selection of cell cameras and regular trail cameras. And if you pair them with one of their solar panels, you'll be set for a long while. I've shot over a dozen deer and a big old black bear in Saskatchewan with these arrows, and I trust them to fly right and get the job done. And they have something for everyone with the Exodus NIS micro diameter arrows or the Exodus MMTs.
So if you want to save money on Exodus arrows, cell cameras, or anything else they got on their website, make sure to check out ExodusOutdoorGear.com and use code HA10 for 10% off.
Once again, that's ExodusOutdoorGear.com, and make sure to use code HA10 for 10% off at checkout. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So we have kind of got into the Western game, I guess you could say, at least into the application game. So what we got kind of on the docket this year is you put in for Kansas, right?
Yep.
And do you own a muzzleloader?
No.
So what's your plan? Similar to your tax situation?
I'll figure it out the day before.
History has shown that is a good idea. For Carol?
It works.
It works.
I talk so much trash on like rifles and stuff, and I'm probably going to have a 180 just step out at
50
yards.
Man, it happened to me. It happened to me with the 30-06. And I was like, nothing can go wrong. This is bulletproof.
No.
Have your ducks in a row, sir.
Oh, I will. I've never shot a muzzleloader.
You're not missing much.
Don't shoot 400 yards.
Can confirm. Can't confirm on that one.
I mean, muzzleloaders now, you can shoot up to like 100, 120, can't you?
Kobe probably has a good one you can use.
Yeah. No, there's muzzleloaders that shoot 500 yards now. But like an average, you go buy a Thompson Center from Walmart, yes, you can shoot like 150.
Yeah.
Would be like that range. I don't like them. I've killed a deer with a muzzleloader, and I do not like them.
I've shot a coyote with one. That's it.
Yeah, back at the Belizean Pond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do not. Was that an open sight muzzleloader?
Nope.
No, it had a scope. Yeah, I do not like muzzleloaders.
Had like a 3X scope on it, I think.
Hell yeah.
Quality stuff.
So who knows? I might go out on a limb and buy one just to have one. But
out on a limb makes it.
HNTA-15 for out on a limb. If you guys want to save some money. Do you think you're going to buy one?
If somebody has one that's like, okay, this
Kobe
is just...
Kobe has like probably six of them.
That's just like decent. Like, it's for 2 weeks. The chances of me actually pulling this trigger is... Hopefully good, but like
I'm not going up there for my health.
Yeah,
what's the odds of you guys drawing out?
So we each have a point. So I looked on I have a Go Hunt subscription, which helps you with the odds, and it said 100%. I don't know if that's true.
But you guys have a point from the year prior, correct?
We put in last
year. Yeah, but there's three of us with a muzzleloader. So, but there's three of us. So,
so your cousin's been putting in for Kansas for archery with a group of three, right, for several years. And how many points did they have?
They had two last year and didn't get in.
Do you think muzzleloader would be more sought after than like an archery?
Dude, it's 2 weeks.
That's true.
I don't think so. I think it's an easier time.
And guess what? I just figured out yesterday.
What's that?
In those 2 weeks, one of my buddies that I have to go to their wedding because I'm going to be in the wedding.
Who?
Jake Helgeson.
You're going to be in the wedding?
I'm going to be in the wedding, and it's the last weekend of that. It's the 28th.
Have you told him yet that you're not coming?
Yeah, I'm not coming. I'm going to. I'm going to just tell him, like, hey, man.
Just get it done before.
If you really believe in God, I would start praying that I get this job done, because...
I'm going to have to take a week.
You'd only be eating like $550 for a tax soup.
So it's not fine. Much. Yeah.
You'd be joining me. Because I find dining that.
Yeah. No, if we get in and my vacation time's right, it's like, okay, let's go up there. Let's stay there the whole time. Like, let's do it. And if I can't get it done in 12 days, then it's like, okay.
Yeah, you may feel the same way. Or I don't think there's a more predictable hunt than early season Kansas in beans.
Oh, that's,
I do not
that's
think
the
that
way to
if
go.
You are on it, I do not think
if
there
you
is
have
a
security cover around
yes.
somewhere where it's like, okay, you know that they can travel here to here on like a rather daily basis.
I think our minds were blown the first time. Like, you go out on a piece of public land, on a soybean field that any guy could walk into and set up a stand in, and you see 25, 30 deer between a couple different people, and you're like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And now add a muzzleloader to that. I'm not saying it's like taking candy from a baby. I'm just saying from a public hunting perspective, it's about as predictable
true,
as it gets.
True, but what I see happening, and this might not be true. Maybe some people's like, maybe there's not that much pressure on those pieces. But what I see from around here and stuff, people around Northeast Oklahoma love the rifle season. They love rifle season. They love muzzleloader season. Mm-hmm. Like in here in Oklahoma, you can shoot a buck with both, right? So you have two buck tags. You can shoot one with the rifle. You can shoot one with the muzzleloader. Well, there, I don't know if it's the same thing for the residents. I know it's only a one buck state. I understand that. But if it's a limited season and it's like, okay, as a resident, they only have, if they're not into bow hunting or something like that, or maybe they can't go as often, they're like, okay, the best chance I have is either during rifle season or this muzzleloader season.
Mm-hmm.
And people probably have the same idea, right? I have a gun. Let's go see where I can see a lot of area, a lot of space.
Yeah.
And which would be a food source. So are y'all not scared of the amount of pressure? Because the unit you guys are in doesn't have the most abundant amount of land.
Doesn't have the most public. No. Nope. Yeah. I'll let Carol answer first.
Am I worried about it? Well, I kind of quit worrying about stuff like that as much because what can we do? We can't control it.
You can't do anything.
So why worry about it? It's just like, go out there and just, let's roll.
So at what point were you like, I got motion, twin?
Translation, please.
After hunting in last year in Kansas when I went there, and I was like, there's 20 cars here.
The correct answer was
and guess who's birth. Dragging out the deer? This guy, who's still back there not seeing nothing. Those other 19 people.
They were duck hunting, though.
Some of them were, but I you can call me that.
That
know,
was what?
Pronouns is that guy.
But the place we're going, this is one of the things that I think about when we talk about Kansas is Jake and I hunted the Kansas muzzleloader season with our bows when we went to Kansas. And the pressure, did you ever see a single person that you with a muzzleloader?
Nope.
I never saw one.
That's a valid point. I forgot
I never
about that.
Saw one. I think when you get into those, this is one of the things I do like about an early muzzleloader season is hunters are allergic to heat.
So I want to backtrack there, though.
Yep.
The area that we were at, the main piece of focus that we were on, where we had those people, I guess, squirrel hunting with the 12-gauge or whatever it was, that place was our number one like spot. And then from there, we bounced around Weehaw to Weehaw. So we checked out probably 12 different pieces of Weehaw per person. Mm-hmm. And then we ended on that little lake spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was during the muzzleloader season. So, bouncing around those Weehaws, like, I don't think, like, that was a good example of the overall pressure for that area. Because we could have went back there, and we did, and there was, like two or three cars parked in that. So that's sure. kind of what I'm saying.
My general philosophy on, like, hunting places like Kansas that have a large, a good program of Weehaw, which is, like, walk-in hunting access, and there's a lot of little bitty places scattered, is everyone can't be everywhere at once. Mm-hmm. Like, there might be 100 guys that are hunting this unit as well. Somewhere in that unit, there's a bean field that is a big buck on that somebody's not already on, right? Because for some guy to be in a spot, especially now with no cameras, that he knows a big buck is in, he has to use these bad boys right here. His eyes or someone that has been there before or local knowledge. So that's just how I think about it. I think you kind of have to take the abundance mentality of like, okay, this is my number one spot. If I go there and no one's there, this is my number two. If I go there and someone's there, this is my number three. You know, it's like that. Similar to what we did you know, with our bows.
Right.
That's just the way that I think about it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just, I guess that's kind of what Carol was saying, too. It's just, what are you going to do about it? Keep trying until you figure it out.
And then, like, if you have a job.
But that takes time, though. And you guys are on a time crunch with this two-week season, though.
A huge time crunch. But like Carol said, both of us work remotely. If we have to, you know, hotel from 10 to 3 and work, so be it. Like, if I promise you this, Lauren, you can watch this. If I'm on a 180,
she won't.
She won't. I am not coming home. If I'm on a 180 with a muzzleloader on Kansas Public, I will live out there with him if I have to. I will crawl into his bed, and the second he wakes up in the morning, out of his bed. But yeah, I would stay. I would absolutely stay, similar to what Carol said. Till he has to go to a wedding, I'll stay.
Do you think he would stay?
I think so.
Okay.
Sounds perfect. Yeah, I'm excited for Kansas.
Like, the thing about it is, like, we're on a time crunch. We say we're on a time crunch, and we are. But you got to also think of it from a different perspective of we have 2 weeks, right? We probably only hunted, even though we went to Kansas four or five times, we still only hunted 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the duration is still there, but it's just like, hey, we have 2 weeks to figure this out. We don't have 3 months to figure it out, even though the hunting time is still there, but you're on a time crunch to figure it out, if that makes
sense. How many days do you think we hunted?
A lot. 15, probably.
That's it?
Maybe more. Maybe more, because we spent a lot of time there in September and early October. I know what we did. Probably closer to 20.
I don't know.
To be honest, because we spent the week there, and then we went back in December.
Not enough, apparently.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I do like about a condensed muzzleloader season, though, is there is a time crunch, but it is a thing that you can focus on and move on. When it's over, it's over. One thing that really sucks is, if you're not in close proximity, at least, is having too many options. Like, I got a tag in this state, and I got a tag in this state, and I got two more tags in this state. And it's like you're trying to, especially with no cameras, you're trying to play this bounce around game of where should I be right now? And you kind of always feel like you should be in the other place. And in a short condensed 2 week season, it's like, I get it done. The bell rings. If I don't get it done, I move on to something else. That's kind of nice. I like that aspect of it too.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that's a good point.
You could do that with bow hunting, but I wouldn't. Like when we were in Oklahoma hunting, all I could think about was, man, I should be in Kansas.
Yeah.
I said it a million times. Why are we spending time doing this first? We're all burnt out. And we go to Kansas and stay
there
for 3 days.
Well, I was
planning
on killing like a 190 and then being jacked going up to Kansas.
Yeah, exactly.
We got burned out before we even went to the good state.
Burnout's an understatement.
Yeah, that sucked.
Didn't have fun. You got a 108, though.
No, I had fun. I had fun, but by the end of that, I was just like, my deer season's done.
Which at that point you'd already shot two nice bucks. So you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And two states. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Well, while you bozos are cheating with a rifle.
Muzzleloader.
A rifle.
Crossgun. A firearm.
A firearm. I don't want to be sticking the manly route and using a crossbow. No, but I am going back to the units that we drew out for in 2021. So it's the way it works with Christian being, you know, deep in liberal country, Texas, and Carol being in Tulsa.
So far away.
Yeah, that's fine. Just announce everybody where I live. That's cool.
Now he won't be able to show his face.
Where I live, it's like it just a little hop, skip, and a jump to Kansas. So I picked it to basically, I ain't going to speak on that. I'm close. So with that being said, come early season and late season, that's when I really want to hit Kansas, just for the pressure.
It's an ag state. That's fun. When ag hunting's fun.
Yeah. And so where I am in Oklahoma, I could hunt Oklahoma if I haven't filled my tags, or I could just drive not that far and the hunting be three times better, and I see like probably three times more deer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus, since we hunted there in 2021, we kind of have a little bit of history with those spots, those areas, kind of seen some good bucks. Cause I probably seen like five shooters while I was there. It just, I couldn't connect. And so I just want a little bit of redemption. And it's like, I want to hunt ag when ag's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that here. So it just makes sense.
We don't have ag here.
What do you mean?
Corn feeder.
Exactly. That's a monocrop, son.
That's ag. wonder what a deer's thinking, like 80 yards back in a thicket, and there's like, this is totally natural, the corn feeder.
Flashbacks, probably.
Yeah. At Jake's spot, when you hear the corn feeder off, you just hear 100 yards back in a thicket. As soon as it goes off, they know what that means around here. They know what that means. So in September and stuff, when you're bow hunting, do you ever think about scent control? Like how disgusting you get in those early parts of the season? Do you guys think about that?
I think about, I wish I would have extra clothes.
Extra clothes?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Kara, what's your thing? What's your thought on it?
Can't control that.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Why would you? No. You can play the wind, but... public. Come on now. You can play the wind and guesstimate where they're at, but you're going to sweat. You can freaking, at least me, I can take my shirt off and rinse off, and 2 minutes later, I'm like, yep, I'm right back to where I was. So...
Yeah,
doesn't matter, and it's like, yeah, they're gonna smell you. Doesn't matter if you're barely sweating or really sweating, right?
I mean, I'll use it like if it's convenient. If it's like in the truck, I'll spray down. Just maybe. I mean,
yeah. I mean, why
I don't
not?
Have a sense of smell, so it's like I'm not trying to like mask my own odor for myself. And so
that's half the battle for me.
Is it
when I use that like ElimaShield Core Body Foam? Half of it's for the deer, and half of it's for me. Because when I can't smell myself, I'm like. They can't get me either. It's funny because they have the body wash and stuff like mm-hmm. with in there, and I use that. I use that all the time. Like I actually use it for my legitimate, just regular shower stuff. And have you guys ever left a garment that you've sweated in like after a week long rotation in your bag and then taken it out later?
Yeah, you're like, do I burn it?
It's crusty.
Yeah, dude,
when it has like a shape of its own. Like, it has its own shape.
Did I starch these? Like, what am I doing?
Dude, I've unzipped a zipper before and been like, oh. And it's always the next to skins.
A new pair?
Lauren's like, you got any laundry? And it's like, yeah, in that bag. We grab them. Dunk her out.
This is the first year that I took some of that ElimaShield, like a laundry detergent, and I actually washed everything from my base layers, everything but my rain gear, and put it in the bag, and I was like, you're good. Stay there. Like, don't, it's, and I haven't used any of my hunting gear, because I legitimately ruined a Sitka top by wearing it.
You threw it away?
No, but I ruined it. I'm talking, you could wash it 1,000 times.
That's how my fanatic is. It's like, dude, I've washed it so many times. I'm like, dude, it's so,
I thought you said you didn't
horrible.
Wash, like your coats and stuff.
No, I do. I just don't wash them frequently, because it'll rip, I mean, it's going to tear the material apart.
Like,
or not.
I wash everything of mine, but I don't put it in the dryer. I just usually hang it.
Yeah, my fanatic has gotten. I mean, I've also, like, this is probably going to be like year 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. You know, I've sweat in it. You know, it's
cold.
It's cold. It's warm, and it's just gets worn all the time. Where I'm like, yeah, this is just going to permanently smell like crap. But
I play the wind.
Yeah,
yeah. Did you end up getting the other Sitka gear?
It's ordered, or it should be.
Good. So Jake got some. It's not Fanatic. It's actually better than Fanatic. Yeah, what is it? It's incinerator.
This incinerator.
He got the incinerator stuff, and what sucks is like there's gonna be 3 days a year.
Let me pause you. This is the same guy, by the way, that just said, hey. "I don't want to switch broadheads."
I got it for 50% off.
Yeah. Okay. So he still.
So it's only seven.
He only spent $600 instead of $1,200. But this is the same guy that's like, I don't want to switch broadheads for $70.
It's continue. Called priorities, okay?
I
don't
want to
freeze my butt off because I
enjoying hunting.
I do have a jacket that I wear with like, you know, base layers, which my base layers are just like a hoodie. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay. And you can ask Christian. I've been skimming marketplace for a deal on like a Fanatic set. I found a couple. I tried to lowball them even further. They get pissed off. They don't respond. Circle of life, okay? It's fine.
It's Facebook. It's how it works.
Yeah. No, I want a good deal on it, you know?
See ya.
If I don't feel like I got a good deal, then...
yeah.
See you later.
What's the lowest you take? I already dropped the price. And it's like, never mind. Like, enough said. So I did the math. And I was like, well, this is the best deal I found in about 2 months. It was $600 for the set of... which is really not even like that good of a price.
Yeah, it's really not.
$600 for, or was it three? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I didn't get it. But yeah, for a Fanatic set, or I was thinking, because I've worn your Fanatic before. Mm-hmm. I haven't worn your bibs, but I was like, the Fanatic is very, very nice.
It's awesome.
It's super warm, beats the heck out of whatever I have. Like, mm-hmm. I just have like a subalpine, like I don't know.
A cold weather hoodie is what you
circles mean. Around it.
Oh.
Run circles around it.
Yeah. So I was like, I definitely want that because when we hunted in Kansas, which I plan on hunting in Kansas if I draw out, Lord willing, I want to go early season to late season. And just in case, like, it's nice to have. Like, all of my Sitka that I've acquired has lasted me. Like, nothing's ripped, which I take good care of it, right? Like, yeah. if I cross fences, if I cross neighbors' fences, just kidding, I don't rip it. And so it lasts. And so I'm like, well, it's a buy once, cry once thing.
It is.
And I was like, I can get the Fanatic or I can get this Incinerator, and I would be spending, you know, with the 50% off code, I'd be spending, what was it? Like, maybe an extra $150 or something like that. And I'm like, I looked at reviews on the Fanatic and I looked at reviews on the Incinerator, and I was like, okay, Fanatic would probably suit me best because, like, what's the percentage it's going to rain? And or like blizzard and or something like that.
The Fanatic is a very, very limited jacket because, yeah, if it rains, you're screwed. Also, the Fanatic, it's hard to bow hunt out of Fanatic stuff, I think.
Well,
it's a big coat. Like,
it is. It does have a lot of.
It's a big coat.
It's fluffy.
Like, yeah, if you hit your arm at all with that bowstring, I mean, it's.
Yeah. So where I was going with that is it's either, you know, what if it rains one day, or what if it starts sleeting and the outside gets wet? I know it has that like warm when wet technology or whatever, and this isn't an ad. If you want to send us some free stuff,
they don't sponsor us. Yeah,
please do. But so I was thinking, I was like, well, after last year's deer camp, and everybody basically had to go like
to the laundromat
to dry their stuff. I'm like, okay. I looked at a review on this Incinerator, and it wasn't like that woolly stuff where if it's wet it takes forever to dry. The dude was like, hey, if you get wet or if you get a little bit of sweat inside this, it doesn't stay. Like you just kind of flail it off, let it hang dry, and it's like, you know, drying rain gear basically. Mm-hmm. Where it's like good to go the next day.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm gonna spend the extra $150 and get that where it's like completely waterproof. It's like a shell and it's warm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm just gonna do that. Buy once, cry once. So that's
you won't regret.
That's
it.
My justification for it.
You won't use it very much, but when you do, you'll be very happy.
Yeah,
it'll be a -20-degree situation in Kansas, and you'll still be able.
There's not a lot of times where I'm like, I have to have the Fanatic for this hunt, but like when you have to have it, you're like, thank God I got this, because you look at people and they're over there like, yep, yeah. You're gonna catch crap for having Sitka. You're gonna catch crap, but I guarantee you, you're probably you're gonna be one of the warmest.
Well, when we don't kill something, we'll look so good. You'll look amazing.
I'll look the part, baby.
When you're coming out of the woods with nothing, they're going to be like, that guy probably saw a deer. That guy did. That's what they think when I see me and my Fanatic. I know it. We look the part.
That wraps up the Muley, or I'm sorry, the Kansas stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, Muley and Kansas, that's all September-based. Something happened to you.
Moment of silence. If he is for me, no one could be against me. I drew a New Mexico elk tag.
Yeah.
Oh. There we go. That's cash money. No, I drew a, yeah.
Yeah, it is cash money. You're right.
It is cash money. What sucks about New Mexico is it's one of the states that it's a lottery system, so there is no preference points. You have the same odds this year as you do next year. They might change a little bit depending on how many applicants. But it's one of the states that you have to pay up front for the tag. And they refund you. So it's like an $800 tag. And I'm like, if I don't get it and they just held $800 for 2 months, it's going to piss me off. But thankfully, I got on there. My buddy Hunter and his dad had put in for a rifle tag in a similar unit. And he called me one day, like a week before the draw was supposed to be out. And he said, go check your results. He said, I didn't draw. I was like, dang, okay. I probably didn't either then. And I walked over and it was like, successful.
But did he and his dad put in together?
They did. They put in as a group.
Probably.
And I drew my second choice, oddly enough. I didn't draw my first choice. I drew my second choice.
So do you get to keep your point or no?
It's a lottery system. You don't have points.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Gotcha. So I think when I talked to a guy, I had about a 30% chance of drawing. And I ended up putting in with an outfitter. There's a few benefits. One, never killed an elk before. So I don't – no shame in my game going with an outfitter. And also, when you're going to
do – So you're hunting a high fence.
It's fish in a barrel, basically. It's still public land, just an outfitter. What's cool about it is you have a higher odds when you put in with an outfitter to drawing out, which is pretty cool. And then on top of that, some experienced guy. And when I think about it, like Arizona, New Mexico, that's the Super Bowl of elk hunting. Those are like the big bowl places. So I was like, well, going into this place, especially my first elk hunt, if I do draw a tag in a place as coveted as some of these New Mexico units, I don't mind shelling over some more money to have an awesome hunt or at least get us in the game. So my thought is like, I'd love to go elk hunting once a year going forward. So I want someone that's actually killed some elk to show me how to do it so I can go try to get pissed
and
off.
And so I can take their spots.
Yeah. That is an interesting thing about public land when you're going with an outfitter. It's like, I hunt here now. You
know what I mean? Thanks for showing me my spot.
So I actually Hunter's dad has hunted with these guys before, and I think they don't let you have Onyx.
What are they going to do, take away my phone?
Give me that. Put it in the baggie. I think they just...
Onyx.
Obviously, they're grown men, so they're not going to tell you, don't get on... Like, they might say, hey, please don't mark our spots. Right. But they're not going to be like, let me see your phone. You using tracker? Yes. But, yeah. I'm excited.
Trying to count how many miles we did today.
Mm-hmm. And where we were. And where that bull bugled. So, we're going to... That's a... I think we're going in Mexico, what, the 7th through the 13th of September?
Something like that.
So... Peyton's coming to film.
He said news to me.
This is news to him. No, Jake's coming to film, but it's gonna be awesome. So I'm excited for that hunt.
How many people can go?
I mean, you can. I don't know how many they could take in camp, but if you pay an additional amount, they'll let anybody come. I bet. You want to come out and hang out and eat and sleep? Give me $1,000. I'll cook you baked beans.
What's more
over
like?
Fire.
Hey, if you kill, I mean. If they would let me, and obviously I got to get in shape and stuff, I would go. But it could be more like I got my phone on me, you shoot one.
Yeah.
Like if they're not going to let me,
mm-hmm.
then it's like...
It's really not that far from Oklahoma either.
Not
and it's
really.
Like, hey, all right, you know, through these 2 weeks, just tell my boss, like, hey, I'm waiting for this phone call. If he gets one, like, you can fire me, but I'm going.
He'd be like, Carol, you're only logged in for like 3 hours a day anyways. We don't care.
Yeah, that's a good day. But
that's one of my productive days.
Yeah, so yeah, it could be like I go if they have the room and are just like, yeah, like that's fine if you want to go when I'm, you know. Mm-hmm. If they even allow it. It might be like, yeah, you got one person. You can pay a fee and bring one person. If that's the case, whatever, I'll just be on call and
well, New Mexico's funny because you have to pay to use your film. On the internet, like you have to buy a permit. Yeah, you have to buy a permit for their public land to like put it on the internet. So, I think it'll be really fun. It'll be a good hunt. If you look on this certain outfitter's website, one of the things that stuck out to me, not only I knew a guy that had been there and shot a mule deer before, but he said if you come in early September, expect to hear hundreds of bugles. Hundreds. I've never heard one. Can you imagine you're sitting out there, ma?
Yeah, at least you wouldn't, like, you would be like, okay, they're over here somewhere.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that's what's good about, you know, a first-timer going, because we really don't have anybody that's like, oh, hey, or we know people, but would they be willing to be like, oh, hey, this is the type of terrain, this is what you look for mm-hmm. When you locate a bull, this is how you approach it. Because
that's how you play the game.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Do we know people that shot elk? Yes. Would they be willing to probably share that information without giving away their spots, really? Probably not.
No, and I wouldn't either.
No, and that's understandable. But with that being said, it's like, okay, now we can kind of see how it's done firsthand, right? And we're – obviously, all jokes aside, we're not going to, like, steal the spots because that's just – I mean, that's wrong. But
I would. You catch me there the next day. I'm just joking. Chill out.
But you can kind of see, like, exactly what I was talking about. Okay, this is kind of where you want to look for. Like, okay, copy and paste this area and then find another spot on, you know, on Onyx mm-hmm. or on the map. Like, find the same terrain. Find the same forest types or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a confidence booster. You're like, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it worked out. All of hunting is like, I saw something, this looks similar to what I saw before, and it worked. Let's try this again. And you can take what you, in New Mexico, and you could say, okay, well now I'm 70 miles away in Colorado. Obviously, it's these could be an over-the-counter unit, it's more hunted, more pressure. But what I noticed when we went to Colorado, is like, I walk into a basin, and I'm like, I don't know if I need to be up there, down here,
right,
over there.
What shelf do I need to be on?
Should I be in the Aspen? Should I be glassing? Should I sprint until I jump one up?
What's like, thermals?
Yeah, what's thermals? I feel like a child out there. And you can spend a lot of time, effort, and energy, and money chasing something that you don't know how to chase. And if other people want to do that, you get your experience. Do whatever you want to do. But if we're going to go play the Super Bowl at a place that's that good, it's like, I want a good shot at killing one.
Yeah.
I want to – because if you look at the trophy like potential in the places that we're going – The guy told me an average bull was like 260 to 340. That would be, and a Pope and Young is 260. So like Pope and Young, it is like an average bull. So like Boone and Crockett, I think is 380. They said, yes, we have some 380s. There's some Boone and Crockett like type of elk in there. So, will I get in front of one? No, but I would love to, and I would shoot a raghorn. So this probably be the easiest guiding this guy's ever been on. Is like, you
what's
shoot
your
that
expectations?
One?
Yes,
legal. Legal.
It's like with the bear, you're like big. Day two, you're like alive.
Legal. Yeah. When me and Carol went black bear hunting,
dude, those are hard to tell because you're like, this thing could be 400. This thing could be. You can't put a size on a bear. You don't know. You just don't.
Especially
know. I mean, first of all,
one.
You don't see bear. Like we don't see bear, and he was just like, yeah, the height of the barrel, and you're like, that looks pretty dang big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you're just like, well, there's some that are thicker, there's some that are skinnier, yeah. There's some that are tall. Like, you just don't know. You're like, what's a big bear?
I think it's going to have, like, you seeing a big bear to really know. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to see a big, big bear before you know, like, oh, hey, just that.
Well, like, you think on October 1st, a yearling doe walks in. You're like, that's a normal sized doe.
Right.
And then a big one walks in. You're like, that was a fawn.
Yeah. I was guilty of that. Learned that lesson hard way.
Yeah, I've learned that many times.
Yeah,
that's how it goes. When I was sitting, so I shot my bear the first day. Carol didn't see anything that day. And then did you go the next day too without seeing anything?
I set like, what? I don't remember. It was like
2 or 3 days.
They're long
you killed
sits
yours
though,
on the third
too,
day.
Aren't they?
Bro, yeah. It was. He was like, we'll leave at like 11. And I'm like, no, man, I want to get out there like 8. Let's sit all day. And he's like, you're going to be hunting until
it doesn't get dark.
11. Yeah, he was like, it gets dark at like 11 and the sun comes up at like 4 a.m.
It's like the whole day.
Yeah. So he was like, yeah, I don't remember what time we didn't go out there at 11. We got out there like 1 to 2 and there were like 8 to 9 hour sits. And when I say like,
you put in a full day's work, man.
Dude. Yeah. Not very often.
That's a week's worth of work.
Yeah. That's a week week's worth of work right there. But like the first 2 days, like I didn't see anything with a heartbeat.
Not
other
a bird.
Than gnats and mosquitoes and flies. Like, you got to think, like, it's thousands and thousands of miles. So, like, it's not like, oh, there's a dense population of stuff. Like, you go to our woods and you're like, all right, you know, there's a field right here. Where are the squirrels going to be? Well, this tree line right here. Why? Because it's the only tree line.
Yeah.
But there it's just like, dude, it's like you could drive for 8 hours and you're just like, it's just wildlife.
Just thick aspens.
Yeah, it's there's not just a dense population in one spot. So, yeah, I sit there for 2 days and didn't see anything with even a heartbeat.
There was this guy that like that was hunting and had like 3 try to come up his tree, and he's like, yeah, none of them are super big, and he's like, I think I want to go try another spot. And Carol's like, I'll sit in your spot. And so he takes us there and he's like, you will see a bear tonight. And the first one comes in, we're like, we're shooting that one.
Yeah. Well, I was like, is he big enough? And Christian's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's day
and
3.
I was
he's
like, but
enough.
I don't know. Like, he was up against the barrel. I'm like, okay, he's not as
is
big as
yours.
Is there,
like, regulations on, like,
no,
bear size?
They
no,
just don't
dude,
want you to shoot
you just
a souse.
Yeah, right. Like, you just,
yeah.
Like, it's like an ethical thing. Like, hey, mm-hmm. like, don't shoot a small bear. But I was just like, he could kill me. You know, like, he's big enough. He would do his part.
Could be beat him.
That one? I don't know.
Probably that one, but not Christian's.
That's funny.
Because I just remember seeing yours, and I was like, God, these things are a lot bigger. And he's like, no, that's big bear. That's big bear. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, how small are we talking? Because, like, it's just so weird when they're lifeless. Dude, when they're lifeless, they are not big.
Mm.
Like, it is. I can't even explain to you of, like, a bodybuilder, and when he gets up there and he's all puffed up, and you're like, you're freaking huge. But if you see him, like, laying on the couch, you know, like that. Like, don't get me wrong, it's still Jack, but it's like, yeah, you're not near as big.
So kind of like me right now?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I don't know how to explain it of like, you know, when they're alive, you're like, this thing's this big around, but when they're dead and their hair's all brushed down and it's just like, you're only that big around.
I understand.
You're only that big around, and also your body, other than your hair, is only that
the
big
fur's
around.
That thick.
I get you. It's kind of, so it's kind of like shooting a deer walking up to it and it's like, oh, this is 80 inches.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood.
Exactly. So yeah, when I shot mine, I was just like, dang, dude, this was not near as big as I thought. It was, don't get me wrong, it's like still a good sized animal.
It looked good. I mean, it looked big.
Yeah, the pictures make it look a lot bigger than
the
thing.
No, I was talking
really
about when you were out here with it and y'all stopped in and showed.
Oh,
yeah. We did do that, didn't
we? Yeah.
We stopped. Carol and I, we couldn't take any ice chests or anything. We didn't take any ice chests over the border. I want to say we couldn't or something like that. We stopped at Walmart and
we didn't have space for them. Remember, or something like that. We were like, bro, what are we gonna do? Like, if we no, you had brought ice chests. You brought ice chests. The problem is, we were like, okay, how do we get the bear itself back and also the meat and all the stuff that we had taken?
We put the meat in the ice chest.
Yeah,
and we put the So we bought a freaking huge just storage tote. And we put ice in it in Saskatchewan and had two bear heads in it. We went over the border you got any contraband?
And I was
got
like
a black bear head.
Nope.
Mm-mm. They're tagged.
Would that be considered contraband?
I don't know.
We had tags, we had everything.
It was cool though. We drove all the way home with two bear heads in a tote. It was fun. Which he skinned them all the way up to the neck, didn't he? Basically, and they still Okay, and Jared took them off the Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you couldn't have, I don't remember what it was. He was like, the bear itself, because there's no meat or anything, but he was like, it might get a little sketchy on the border with the meat. I don't know what it was. He's like, you're not going to have a problem getting the bear back with the meat and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it might start getting a little sketchy.
Yeah, that was weird. Fun. Yeah, so we got Nebraska Muley. We got Kansas, Lord willing. We got New Mexico. Those are the... So Oklahoma or Nebraska and New Mexico were for sure. Kansas is a maybe. And then you put in for Colorado?
I think so. I put in for a lot of stuff.
Okay. Colorado, not going to draw anything there.
No, I mean, everything else, I don't plan on drawing anything.
Yeah, wouldn't plan on drawing them there. We got the Oklahoma draw that everybody's in. Did you put in? Are you going to put in?
No.
Why?
I would.
Because I'm just going to bow hunt whitetail, and I might go to Nebraska with you guys, but I also with work, I don't get a lot of vacation time. I get I want to say 15 or 16 days, and I've already used two of them.
But what about the elk? Are you going to put them for an Oklahoma elk? You should.
I
need to.
I thought it was the 7th was the last.
No, I think it's the 22nd or something like that.
For the elk?
No, the.
I thought all draw-ins ended on the 5th or 7th.
No, it's May 22nd.
Because they draw in June. Yeah.
You need to go do that because they're given an option for an extra preference point, too.
Yeah, for elk. So, we'll put in for Oklahoma. Is there anything else we got our feed in?
Other than that, that's the main portion of it.
That's the big lion's share of it. It could be an awesome season.
Yeah, but... Before then, we got a lot of summer left, so be expecting some different things.
May 20th, yeah.
Yeah. Be expecting some different things. We're gonna do a little bit of traveling this summer, talking with some people. So we got that on the docket.
That's going to be fun.
We got some noodling we're going to be doing. We got maybe a little bit of bow fishing. Just a lot of fun stuff, and we're trying to get a little bit more, I wouldn't say vlog style with the long form YouTube,
mm-hmm.
but we're trying to we're trying to change it up a little bit where it ain't the same old boring stuff that everybody and their dog has. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Just be on the lookout for that because I think that's going to be pretty cool.
And we're going to be doing a lot more in-person podcasts.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like those are the best conversations. Do some more videos, and we're trying to get this thing going where it's on the really exciting hunts and stuff that is a little more special, having actually camera people for that sort of stuff. So hopefully we can make the content better, get a little more of the interaction. There's only so much self-filming that we can do. Well, tell me about your hunt. Oh, cool. Well, my hunt was...
And not be frustrated too.
Yeah,
because you're upset, but hey, your camera guy isn't feeling that pressure because he didn't just spend $5.50 on a tag, you know. And that's what I'm thinking of. And I'm like, man,
he's getting paid to be here.
Yeah. And so, like, he doesn't care if anything. He, like, if we have the right camera guys, they're going to think it's funny. It's like,
yeah, you're missing. You're upset. Like, talk me through it. Talk me through it.
Like Joe Rogan, what are you feeling?
Yeah. Were you expecting to get knocked out tonight? No, it was not. Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. So we got a lot of cool stuff on the way. Tack video will be out soon. And what other? We got some cool podcasts coming up at the end of the month. We got Alaska talk 2 hours with or Garrett about Alaska, and then the podcast with Jake Schumann about that freaking 200-inch buck that he shot.
VPA as well.
VPA podcast coming out as well. So we got some good long form coming the way, and hopefully a good season coming up. So anything else you're excited about, or just Kansas and shooting two Oklahoma bucks?
It's the main gist.
That's the goal. And we'll get Carol to put in for the elk, so he can start his Western journey. But I think that's it. We'll wrap this one up. Thanks for checking us out. Hey, we had some haters in the branches dropping us some ratings and reviews. So if you guys are listening on Apple or Spotify, drop us a rating and review.
Unless it's 5 stars, yeah. Just don't, if it's not going to be 5 stars.
If you hate it, just don't. With that, we'll catch you guys in the next one.
Jesus loves you.
Bye.